Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 373rd edition of SDG, and the title of today's message is, I am the Lord that healeth. Folks, I'm going to share Terry's supernatural healing from cancer with you. This is a praise and glory, all glory to God report. It's a praise report, folks, and it's also a demonstration of the power of the Word of God. Exodus 15:26 says, and said, if wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do which is right in his sight, and will give him his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Isaiah 1:18-20. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, and ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Mark 16:18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues, shall they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Now, folks, those of you who know me know that the enemy has been stealing from me and my house for some time now. First, we had the issue over 10 years ago with the hostile takeover of our company. Actually, it was a reoccurring event. And I shared some of that with you on Tribulation Now, and we thought we were through all of that. But over the past year and a half, it's just intensified. But the Lord spoke to me and told me this time to keep this all close to my heart and treasure them up. Treasure them up. He told me to treasure these things up, folks, like Mary did with the news from the Holy Ghost about the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read that over in Luke chapter 2, around verses 17 through 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So that's what I was doing. So please don't feel hurt if I didn't share any of this with you. With the exception of our families, Becky and Bill at Sozo's, who we lead with at Sozo's, my business partner, a few of the key managers, because I was in and out the plant so much, I didn't want anybody thinking I was checking out. It was just a matter of doing all the things we had to do, diagnosis and everything. And then just a few prayer partners, including the Holy Spirit-filled sisters at Bishop Morrow Personal Care Home, where my mother lives. And I'm telling you, folks, these nuns, although they're Roman Catholic, they're from India, and they're from the original church established there over 2,000 years ago about 2,000 years ago by St. Thomas. So they didn't get some of the messages from the Vatican that signs and wonders, quote-unquote, are supposedly dead, and that all power comes from the Vatican, the seat of Peter. They didn't get that. These amazing women believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were praying fervently for my wife, Terry. So those are the only ones that knew. And you know, besides, folks, this message is called SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. It's all about Jesus. I didn't want focus on me. I didn't want pity parties. I didn't want to be having a pity party for myself. But right now, this is all glory and honor to God. So I'm sharing God's glory with you today in the sense of this awesome miracle. And it is a miracle. Now let's set the framework on what happened here. These attacks, they began back last year in June 2017. My plant manager had an adulterous affair in my plant. I don't mean on his own time. I mean, he was doing it in my plant. And that behavior is just unacceptable in a plant, especially one run by Christian men and women. So this literally sent shockwaves through our entire plant. It forced us to restructure the organization. I had people looking at us like, what are we doing? Then, after we got that kind of settled down and put to bed, a key machine in our operation that all of our glass goes through, and I'm on vacation with Terry up at the lake, and on the day I'm driving home, I just called to see how everything was going. He said, the warper's down. I said, what's wrong? Well, a pump was down, so I thought, oh, we'll be up in a day or so. You got it under control? Yeah, everything's good. You know how it goes. Well, one thing led to another, and before you knew it, we were down for 6 weeks. Now, this warper, it processes all the textile yarn into the big warp beam that goes in the back of the weaving machine. And so every yard of fabric woven in our plant goes through this warp machine, and our backup machine wasn't up yet. So it was down for 6 weeks, even with these high-tech, high-priced experts that were in from the manufacturer and charging like $1,000, $1,200 a day. Folks, we were down. We were nearly forced to close our plant. Then right after we get that thing up and running, my mother fell, hit her head, had a hemorrhagic stroke on October 31st, 2017. And I shared little bits of that miracle with you. But through the whole thing, I can tell you God was supernaturally faithful. So we restructured the plant. We're now thriving. My mom's doing very well. She could be back at home, but she can't drive anymore. So she stays at this personal care home. It's a beautiful place. Holy Spirit filled. She has seven other godly women. They have all kinds of activities. She loves it. So God's good. Then along the way, two of my prayer partners, Allison and Jackie, prayed that God would lead us to a man who could fix our warper. And wouldn't you know, my partner Todd's over there looking at some new machines, and the man who picks him up to take him to see these new machines on this business trip was the man who not only could fix it, but the man who built the machine that was down in Pittsburgh. Italy, folks. He's in Italy looking at a new machine. My partner is in Italy. My partner Todd's in Italy looking for a new machine. Okay? And he not only finds the man who can fix it, but he found the man who built it. So after this guy came over and spent a week on it with his electronics expert, this machine's running like a brand new machine, and he's bringing up our backup machine. It's just supernatural, folks. That's all I can say. But then going through all this, the enemy strikes even closer to home. It was really apparent to us something was wrong on January 5th. We were at Lowe's picking up some stuff for a home improvement project at my mom's house. At that point, we thought my mom was still going to come home and be driving again and all that. So we were fixing her house up so she could live on the first floor and not have to navigate stairs. So Terry comes out of the restroom white-faced, you know, and I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "The toilet bowl was full of blood in the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom. It's full of blood." Could see she was visibly disturbed, and I'm saying, "Oh, Terry, you just have some hemorrhoids or something. Just don't worry about it." But test after test, we had no answers. And then she was finally scheduled for a diagnostic colonoscopy on January 25th, 2018, and I knew something was wrong because that procedure ran way over, about an hour over. And then when we finally got pulled in that room, Terry's groggy coming out of her anesthesia. The doctor tells us, "Well, Terry has colorectal cancer. I found a rectal mass." And when we heard that news, folks, we were devastated. It was something beyond anything I could even tell you. I sat there in the chair at the hospital in that little room. They pulled a curtain, you know, the recovery room. And I felt as if I was looking up out of a well, falling into it. And the light's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. In fact, I almost passed out at that moment. And in my heart, I just cried out, "Jesus, help us." And at that very moment, Terry, still groggy, not really comprehending what the doctor said, coming out of anesthesia, as clearly as a reader in a church, she cites Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And hearing that scripture just pulled me out of that well. Coming out of my wife Terry's mouth at that very dark and desperate moment, it pulled me out of that well of despair that I was falling into. And instantly, the Lord reminded me that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus promised to give us life and life abundantly, John 10:10. And I felt the power of God well up in me, and his spirit revived me. And then he gave me the scripture out of Romans 8:28. This is all happening in that little room, and you could just hear the doctor in the background going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa," you know, talking. And she didn't even know for sure because there still had to be a biopsy, but that's how authoritarian, how smug, how arrogant some of these doctors can be. So anyways, the Lord gave me Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So I just said in my heart, "Lord, you're going to have to show me this one." So we drove home in shock, and I shared that scripture with Terry. And then later that day, Terry and I decided that we were just going to lift our hands up, forsake all, and trust the Lord on this one because we had nothing else we could do. Besides, we still needed results from the biopsy. Maybe the doctor was wrong and it was just a benign growth, you know? So get this, folks, get this. You gotta really understand this was all happening like at super, super fast speed. As soon as we surrendered to the Lord, countless supernatural signs and wonders began to happen. And they're all from our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. They flowed and they continue to flow to this day like milk and honey flowed from the promised land. They do. So I hope you stay tuned and I'm going to walk you through this app Terry and I had been on since January of 2018. Now, before this all started, I just want to tell you with all certainty that God promises they are yea and amen. And he is, as the Bible promises in Exodus 15:26, he is the Lord that healeth thee. Now I'm saying all of this right now, as many of us mourn the loss of our dear brother Charles Holler. And folks, I don't understand God's ways. His ways are truly higher than our ways. So I don't know why my Terry was completely healed. Yet our dear friend and brother in Christ, Charles, was called home. I don't know why that happened, folks. Now, with that said, I do want to say that our brother Charles is a good man. He's good in God. And we all know where he's at right now. And furthermore, now he's a veteran. Cheering us on, as the writer of Hebrews said. And although I got to admit to y'all, folks, I'm going to miss him and that booming voice he had until our homecoming, but we know where Brother Charles is. And my friend, and I say that term loosely because Eugene Peterson and I corresponded a while back and forth about 10 years ago concerning his message, Bible paraphrase, a lot of people take as like doctrinal truth. But he did say something so well there at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He was referring to that hall of faith that was just covered in chapter 11. And listen to what he says. You see what this means? He's referring to all those people that preceded us to the throne of grace. All these pioneers who blazed the way. All these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. Folks, that's Brother Charles. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, and he did. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. That's where our brother Charles is. So he's cheering us on. He's cheering me and Terry on. He's cheering you on. And don't forget that. Okay? We have a race to run. Now back to what happened with Terry and me this year. Supernatural signs from the Lord all over the place, day after day after day, through this entire process, folks. So quick, I just want to go through the timeline again. December 24th, it really all started that day. Christmas Eve at my sister's for the traditional Slovak dinner. Terry got a bad case of diarrhea that really never left her. Okay, until some supernatural things started happening. Then January 5th, that severe blood, well, in the bathroom at Lowe's. Then after weeks of testing, that shocking discovery with the diagnostic colonoscopy. Then that scripture the Lord gave Terry that pulled me out of the pit. You know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then me getting Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. All things, including this diagnosis we are in, a cancer. I mean, think about this. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Then on Friday, day later, January 26th, at Sozo's, before our public gathering, we called Becky and Bill together. And as the Bible instructs in James 5:14, call for the elders of the church when you're sick, and let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. So that's what we did. And Becky declared right there that she believed Terry was healed. So I'm just going through this timeline with you. Then on Saturday, you know, I'm just crying out to the Lord. What should I do, Lord? What should I do? There was some guy I heard, Chris somebody, who got cured from cancer. What's his name? What's his name? I couldn't remember his name. I couldn't find it. I had it archived somewhere, but I couldn't find it. And so Saturday, in all my research, and I stumbled on this section on demonbusters.com that talked about that disease has a spiritual component to it. In fact, colorectal cancer, when it's actually cancerous, is unforgiveness of others. Whereas if it's a benign tumor, it's unforgiveness of self. And this was a German physician that compiled a lot of this years and years ago before they separated the natural from the supernatural. So we're being attacked spiritually. And Terry and I realized at that point that many diseases have deep spiritual roots. So when I got home from doing some work over at my mom's house on the 27th, that Saturday after the diagnosis, I got some anointing oil. And I went room to room, and I cleansed our home, and I cast out any spirit contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I declared that no enemy shall prevail. And I declared that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I went around the house, anointed every doorpost over every room in our entry. Okay? I did that. And I declared that our house will serve the Lord, that we would choose blessings, not curses, life over death. So I went through the whole house and I did that, folks. And then I was about to tell Terry, she was pulling up right when I finished. And the Lord said, no, I'll tell her. And I'm thinking, you're going to tell her, Lord. Okay, I'm all in. So you're going to tell my wife that I just anointed the house and dedicated this home to you. So I helped Terry unload the groceries and get her stuff in, gave her a big hug. And, you know, we just had that like heaviness over us because we were just 2 days into this diagnosis on January 27th. Okay. Just our family and Becky and Bill at that point knew, and my partner and a couple of the key managers. That was it. So anyways, I'm downstairs putting some of the groceries away, and Terry yells from upstairs, Ken, there's a cross over the door in our bedroom. Here, what happened is the sun was coming through the cathedral windows we have. It was near the later part of the day, and it had illuminated the oil that was on the doorpost, and she saw the cross. The Lord did tell her. So I explained to her, and she was just standing there looking at me like, wow, you know. And then my partner Todd emails me and says, hey, Amy and I, because their sister-in-law, Todd's sister-in-law, just was diagnosed with breast cancer. So they got this thing from Chris, C-R-I-S, beatcancer.com. They sent us a complimentary link to the Step 1 program, which is a series of about 10 videos, and then there's documentation with it in terms of what Chris did to recover from colorectal cancer. So we started watching that, and it was pretty powerful. It was, how do I word this? It was faith-filled, but it was also enlightening in terms of the fact that, you know, cancer isn't a death sentence. Your body made it so your body can also work with God to heal it. So we started to study those things. We'd watch one an evening. We got into a routine. And then I went to Sozo's on Sunday and had some powerful worship. And I could just feel the Holy Spirit just fill me and bring me peace. And then that Monday, the pathology was confirmed. It was, in fact, cancer. And the diagnosis was a ulcerated adenocarcinoma. And so that gave me something to start to research. And after watching Chris beat cancer, Terry began a raw vegan diet. And then we started, as we learned, to introduce a variety of natural supplements and various things into her diet that all were very detrimental. And then on the 30th that week, we had a meeting with Dr. Medich, the surgeon, and she also began her first full-fledged square one vegan meal, which was a super salad. And Dr. Medich, I mean, he reminded me of Alec Baldwin, and they have a shtick they go through. You know, your life is going to be changed. This is all about real estate. Millimeters matter. We're going to put you on this program. First, we're going to nuke your ass. And that's what they said, and pardon my language. We're going to nuke your ass with radiation, and then we're going to poison the battlefield, and then I'm going to come in and cut it out, and your life will never be the same. And I'm sitting there like, oh, dear Lord, what's going to happen here? This is crazy. Now, I have to tell you, through this entire process, everybody thought Terry was sick, but that's not true. She remained healthy and strong on that vegan diet. And we talked, and it's very difficult. I have to be honest with you. We're in the UPMC system. We pay $1,356 a month for the Advantage plan, the Silver Advantage plan. $1,356 a month with a $7,250 deductible. And they have what they call standard of care. And if you deviate off the reservation anymore, they'll refuse treatment. So we were in a dilemma. We needed the MRIs. We needed to be hooked into the system. So long story short, I said, Terry, I don't think there's going to be a lot of damage if you do this radiation. Okay. Typically what they do now is they do radiation with some oral chemo. Then they get you into an 8 treatment program over 16 weeks with the IV chemo, and then the tumor shrinks enough that the surgery is not quite as invasive. It's still an invasive surgery. It's a resectioning. So anyways, long story short, Terry starts on this vegan diet. We're getting into this system, so to speak. So she had her first meal on the 30th, her first super salad. Then we're doing the daily bread on the 31st. And wouldn't you know, The focus scripture is Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. In particular, verses 19 and 20. That's the one of the ones I read at the beginning. Like Terry's saying, you think this is going to really work? I remember it just before we read the focus scripture. And then I read, and if ye be willing and obedient and shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. And then I look that word up. It could also mean knife. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Terry goes, what did you just read? And I read it back to her. And you could just see the power of God come over her. And I think, Terry, God's speaking to us. She goes, I know he is. First in that diagnosis. And then you. And then this. And then that cross over the door. So anyways, that just gave us like all the conviction we needed, okay? All the conviction we needed. So there's Terry, okay? She's eating. I mean, folks, I was hauling vegetables in like you wouldn't believe because you got to eat a lot of vegetables if that's all you're eating. So I was going to Aldi's because they have good produce here in this part of the country, and I was just loading it up with all the organic vegetables I could get. And then after we watched, I forget what episode it was on Chris Beat Cancer. And folks, if you have any loved ones out there with cancer, I strongly recommend chrisbeatcancer.com. And Terry and I are trying to put together everything that she did, the protocols, because it's quite, how do I word this? It's quite elaborate and broad-based. But along the process, we got into juicing. We were juicing 5 pounds of carrots a day. We did that for 10 months. That's 150 pounds of carrots a month. 10 months, that's 1,500 pounds of carrots. And we're still juicing. And she's in what we call the mop-up operation now because she's going to be monitored, but I'll get to that later. So anyways, hauling all these vegetables, we're living on that. We're standing on that Isaiah 1:19, eat the good of the earth. But if you're disobedient and don't comply, you'll be devoured by the sword. So through this whole process, no side effects, folks. Okay? And I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm a scientist. I'm a technical guy. I need evidence. Okay? I need evidence. So about a week after this all started, I get a call at the plant. Terry goes, I went to the bathroom, Ken. No blood. No blood. Now, she hasn't started any treatments yet because this is a process. Okay? So there early in February, like February 2nd or 3rd, and I didn't write the date down here in my notes, my wife's bowel movements are back to normal. And she's been doing this vegan, and we've been praying, and we had the oil and the anointing. So then we called the doctor. We said, we'd like another MRI. And they said, well, you don't get one until this and this and this. It's all like a recipe, okay? So on the 5th of February, after we started to see what we were up against, we were praying that morning, and I just asked the Lord Jesus for the gift of faith and healing and miracles and to teach me what's behind this scripture you gave me about eating the good of the earth. And all this stuff I'm hearing from this Christian named Chris Walk that did this amazing recovery after his colorectal odyssey. So it was amazing, like in rapid fire succession. And you remember my background, okay? I'm trained in technology, and when I was doing my graduate thesis, phase one or step one in it, after you qualify for the doctoral dissertation, is to do what's known as a proposal. So I was a medical student. I actually withdrew to go to graduate school because I just didn't like what I saw in medicine, and I'm going to leave it at that. I did a proposal on a neurological probe, an electrochemical device that's implanted in the brain to monitor dopamine levels upon stimulation. And of course, we were doing that all in rat brains. But the reason I'm telling you is I have a little bit of a technical medical background. So then I started to devour these papers, okay? I was reading papers on phytonutrients and angiogenesis, which is the formation of blood vessels. And I came across Dr. William Lee from Harvard, who's talking about how if you starve the body of this one key amino acid, methionine, you cannot grow new blood vessels. And a tumor can't grow much beyond, say, 2 millimeters. And Terry's was 2 centimeters, 2.5 centimeters. So it had its own vascular network. But you can actually kill that vascular network if you starve it of methionine. And methionine is predominantly found in animal-based proteins. So that's one of the reasons for the vegan diet. But I don't think a lot of people realize that. But that's what you're doing. You're starving the tumor. And then when that tumor is starved, it starts to die. And that death is known as apoptosis. So I'm learning all these things. I'm getting all these papers. And then I start to realize that there are these various phytonutrients, sulforenes, carotenes that are in carrots, sulforenes that are found in the cuneiform type vegetables like broccoli and spinach that actually kill cancer cells. And there are papers out there on that. And there's this man from Cleveland, the Cleveland Clinic, this doctor, I forgot his name right now. And folks, if this is all valuable, I'll get this into another message, or I'll get this into a special. And we're talking about maybe putting together a document, a web page, and getting this out to people. But anyways, I'm telling you folks, these compounds kill cancer cells. Now, they do it in petri dishes, but it's all in a controlled environment. When I shared this with the physicians, they didn't want to talk about it. But I'm learning all this stuff. And I have my iPad must have close to 500 medical journal articles on it. So I'm downloading all these articles. I'm reading these things. Okay. And again, we met with Becky and Bill on the 7th at Sozo's. We laid hands again, anointed with oil. And then we're on the phone almost every day with the doctors. We want to be reimaged. Okay, we want a reimaging. We want a reimaging. And starting to get doubtful. And I said, Terry, that's stinking thinking. You want to keep going with this. Bill and Becky think you're healed. Okay. And so Terry's at a really low point, and she just accidentally bump dials one of her friends named Sherry. And she asked, Sherry says, well, how are you doing, Terry? And Terry tells her what happened and what she's been doing, like at Sozo's and the scriptures we've been getting. And Sherry says, well, you know, God does heal. I had a major, major oral surgery that I needed to do. And I asked my pastor to pray for me. He laid hands on me, anointed me. And the doctor, before he started this major surgery, this oral maxillofacial surgery, he said, let's do one more x-ray. And he did the x-ray, and the entire abscess was gone. So Sherry didn't need surgery, which was major, major. She was healed. So that kind of reinvigorated Terry. And then on the 14th, we had a meet with the radiologist and the oncologist. And that was Dr. Champ and Dr. Leck. And it's a system, folks. Now, they don't really want to hear about all the stuff you're doing. They really don't want to hear about it. And they roll their eyes. They kind of patronize you, but we're going to do it. You know, that's what we were doing. And we had a series of questions that Chris from Chris Beat Cancer put together. So we asked them. And you'd be amazed at some of the answers you get. Then on the 21st of February, the chemo tablets came, and we had the chemo tablet review happened. You have to meet with the nurse, and they tell you all these things. You have to put gloves on to handle the pills, and you know, it's just this, like, it's almost scary. And then Terry's like, oh, why is that so Ken doesn't contaminate them? And the nurse goes, no, that's because they're cytotoxins. So this is like the kind of stuff you're dealing with, you know? So it was really a scary moment. Terry's like, should we be doing this? And I said, well, you know, we want to try to get this thing healed, and we need to be monitoring, and we got to take this step by step. So we made an agreement. If there was any side effect, if there was anything that was starting to degrade her health, we were going to stop all this immediately. And then that's when the Lord gave us Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. And that scripture says in verse 18, they shall take up servants, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So I said, Terry, that's another one of our scriptures. And that gave us the confidence to continue. So she got into the program, and we were going for the daily radiation down to St. Margaret's because they took the imaging device out of the hospital up by us. So it was a long drive every day. We got the whole thing down into a routine. And we're pushing, and we're pushing, and we're pushing for this MRI. And we got into some heated discussions, and they said, well, you don't want to do that. We said, we'll pay for it, take it off the insurance, just somebody has to write a script. And folks, you can't get some of these diagnostic tests unless a physician writes you the order. So we needed a physician. We're doing, finally, Dr. Leck, the oncologist, did it. And we got a report back. Okay. And now she had been into the treatment for a while, but we got the report back on the 30th of March. About, she probably had about a third of her treatments done on the radiation. And the tumor was reduced by 50%. And we know, because like a week or two into the program and the praying and laying the hands and anointing with oil, the symptoms all went away. So we knew there was a healing before anything natural, medical started to happen here with the treatments. So anyways, that's the process we went through. And I'll tell you, the highs are high and the lows are low, folks. And the whole time we're watching, and Terry's taken probably 50 supplements in the morning, 50 supplements in the night. We discovered this material called liposomal vitamin C. Paul Warburg actually got a Nobel Prize for his treatment of body pH, and we got her into the alkalized zone. And then Linus Pauling wrote about the vitamin C. So we were going to be looking into like infusions, which were very expensive, and we had to drive the opposite direction to get the vitamin C infusion. So I stumbled liposomal delivery systems, and I found this company, Livon Labs, that makes really good liposomal vitamin C. Terry was taking 6 milligrams a day, which is the equivalent of a 12-gram vitamin C infusion on a daily basis, and most people get it every other day. And it's been proven that vitamin C is cytotoxic to cancer cells because of their metabolic pathway, which is very different. And I'm sorry if I'm getting very technical, but this stuff really works, folks. So Terry's into this program. She's healthy. She's alive. And this tumor is shrinking. And we're going through this program. And then you rest after you're done with your last radiation. And they don't tell you this, but they do what's called a booster, where they take that radiation beam, and they focus it right down on it. They basically burn that part of your body. And so she gets into these violent bowel movements after. Nobody tells us, so we thought she had some kind of, and plus she was having all kinds of problems urinating. Well, we didn't. Nobody tells us what's going on. So we get all these tests, and she's fine, and we finally find out from her general practitioner that, oh, that's the booster. So they kind of throw you along, like the radiologist discharged her, and now she's in this 4-week rest period, and she's having all these issues, and they lasted about 3 or 4 days, and it was just that burning. But they throw you around like you're just a number. Then she started the program. She had to have a port placed, and that's a whole adventure. But through the whole thing, what I'm trying to tell you is the Lord just kept giving us scripture upon scripture, and comfort upon comfort, and peace. You know, we're at peace with God. But we can also have the peace of God, a supernatural peace that transcends the environment you're in. And I can't tell you how many hospital waiting rooms I sat in during these tests and during these procedures, the placement of the port, the various procedures. A peace come over me, folks, that I can't even put words to. Okay? So then you rest for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you meet with the oncologist and you start this process where they infuse your body with cytotoxins. And I'm like, Terry, I'm reading all these reports, this Sloan Kettering paper. I really don't think you need to do this. And Terry said, well, I want to do it. I promise you, if anything changes, I'll stop. So basically, they're just trying to shrink this tumor so when the surgeon gets in there, he can work. Now, every morning I'd lay my hands on Terry, and I'd feel the supernatural warmth go through my arm. I'd be praying. I'd be standing on that Mark 16. And I'd be saying, Lord, you declared in Mark 16, 15 through 18, that we can drink poison and we can handle deadly snakes and not be harmed. Lord, you promised that we can lay hands upon one another and we'll be healed. And when I would say that, I could feel the supernatural warmth coming out of my body. I'd lay it right on her side and I could feel it flow. So we were just believing and we were praying. So she wrapped up the last treatment on the 10th of September, and then you wait like 4 to 6 weeks and you get an MRI. So Terry went down for the MRI last Tuesday, and like by now I'm pretty much into this in terms of the routine. Lord, fill me, give me peace, whatever we need. And then we were meeting with the surgeon on Friday. So that morning I'm reading the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel, I think it's chapter 5, And the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, comes down. The men are ready to be thrown into the fire. And he said, now what will you do? What will your God do when me, the king, has the power to throw you into that fire? And remember, he stoked that fire up 7 times hotter. So anyways, what happened then is the men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, our Lord will deliver us. If he doesn't, he will see us through. And at that moment, I just had a peace come upon me. Lord, regardless of what the diagnosis is, regardless of what the next step is, they already had her scheduled for surgery on Thursday, November 1st. And they didn't even see the results yet. It's just this machine, this routine. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this is crazy. And Terry said, I'm not going to do the surgery. We're going to stall for more time. The Lord's healing me and all this stuff that I've been sharing with you. So I told her probably a month or two ago, Terry, when you're through all this, she's been wanting a new puppy. I said, I'll get you a new puppy. So I'm with my mom Friday morning before we have to go to the doctor's office. And I get a call from Terry. You're going to get me that new puppy? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And you know, that's not till we're done with this. She said, I just got a call from the oncologist, Dr. Leck. Complete response. Now, there are two types of complete responses. Well, one's called a clinically complete response, and that's what Terry had. It means that you can just tell. And then there's one that's called a pathologically complete response, or it's called a CPR, complete pathological response. And that means that after they cut out the tissue and they do the pathology on it, they can determine that it was a complete response. Well, Terry had a clinically complete response, which means that they can tell from the diagnostic imaging and also from the examination that the surgeon did that afternoon. So we get there. He said, well, it's not done until I say it's done. And then he prepares her and he goes in and he scopes her. Well, this is gone. I've only seen this one time before. And the same thing from the oncologist. This is remarkable. We only saw this one time before, a 39-year-old woman. He goes, but you're not out of the tunnel yet. You got to come back in 3 months for a follow-up, and then in 6, and then in 12, and then I've got to look at you once every year. And Terry said, fine, have at it. She knew she was healed. Praise the Lord. So, folks, that's what happened. And we've been partnering with these key people in prayer. We've been walking diligently with this protocol on food. She's been a vegan, and she's going to remain a vegan until we get the all clear, and then she's going to some very, very good organic chicken and some wild-caught fish. And she's done with sugar. She's done with, you know, like beef. And she's going to continue with carrot juice and the supplementation and the liposomal vitamin C. And she's going to continue to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So this is all about our Lord. This is all for his honor and his glory. And I just want to tell you, folks, through this entire process and for the rest of our lives, we're going to be still and listen for that small, still voice of the Lord. He speaks to us, folks. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father God, thank you. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord who heals. You are the God who heals. Folks, this is supernatural. This is something that I can't even put words to. And I'm sorry if I was a little disjointed this morning, but I shared this with you from the heart. And folks, email me if there's any interest in the specific details. We'll get information together. We're thinking about maybe putting a website together to help other people. These things work. God's good of the earth does heal. God heals. The anointing of the oil, the walk by faith, not by sight. It's also very important, and you need this to stand firm as you go against the enemy, because the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, and Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Let's just lift our hands up with Kim Walker and praise God with Miracle Maker. I love you all, folks, and I'll be back next week with a message, and we're going to start one out of Peter, because the letters of Peter gave me strength many years ago when I was going through the battles with my company, and they gave me strength. Now we're going to walk through the epistles of Peter and see the power of God manifest in our lives. I love y'all.
I've not seen much, but the wounds I see, I've come to find the hand of the mirror.